Well, thank you so much. It's so great to be here tonight. You guys ready for tonight? I said, are you ready for tonight? God has been ready. Those manifestations took me out. That was my teaching. Well, God bless you in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Reverend Michael Gilmore, for asking me to share God's great word tonight. So blessed to be here in Hotlanta, the Great Mystery Advance. Last time I was here, I went up that mountain on that gondola, and here I am again. So tonight I'd like to share on God's masterpiece in action. Take your Bibles and go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. God's masterpiece in action. You signed up to be here for a weekend like this, you must believe that the Word of God is true. And in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, it says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the Word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it, not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. My prayer is that we all receive God's Word this weekend, not like the Word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which effectually worketh in you. That means, effectually worketh, means to be operative, to be at work, and to put forth power. When we believe what God's word says, we will put it into action in our life. And that's really important to understand. If you say you believe God's word and you don't act on it, I don't think so. That's something else. It's not believing. Truth is not experience. Truth is not subjective. There's no such thing as my truth and your truth. Okay? Just because you experience something does not make it true. And just because you think something does not make it true. What is truth? Go to John 17, 17. What is truth? Don't go to a college campus and ask this question. They won't know. Well, it'd be fun, but they won't really know. I doubt you'd get this answer. John 17, 17. It says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy what?
Word.
Thy word is truth. God's word is true. God's written word is as much God talking as him talking himself to you. And a lot of us have heard God's word for, you know, many years of our life, and some of us maybe not. But we need to stir it up in us. We need to mix it with believing. And when you hear God's word tonight and throughout this weekend, don't let it just bounce off your head and your heart. Let it sink in. Receive it as the word of God. Don't receive it like this. Receive it like this. Come on, give it to me. Give it to me. It's a big difference. God's word has said so many things that have come to pass already, and they're still coming to pass now, and they're going to come pass in the future. We know about the future because we know the word. We have the truth. And what we know about ourselves is the important thing. Does it line up with the truth or not? We know about ourselves because we know what God's word says about us. And that's pretty important. Or do you think God's word is talking about some other mythical people in some other place, like Atlantis, instead of Atlanta? I thought of that. Yeah. This word of God is true. And it has you in it. It's part of your heritage. It's part of your history. It's part of your life. It's part of your future. And it's amazing that And I'm thankful for this, that the Bible is the most recognizable and famous book that has ever been published. Isn't that cool? The second and third most popular are the Quran and Harry Potter. And those are about spirituality. People want to know what's going on. People want to understand spiritual things. They do. But they need to know God's word, because God's word is truth. When God's word says something about anything, it's the truth regarding that subject. So correct yourself. And what God's word says about you is the truth. So we got to get that right. 1 John chapter 3. So great to be here. First time in a while without my children. I love them, but you know. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Look at this. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We have to take a step back here. The first word there was behold. And whenever I hear that word, I think in the back of my mind, check it out. Because it means look to the end of perceiving, where you look to where you got it. Behold. Look to the end that you know what's going on. What kind of love we're talking about here. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we, you and I, not some other people, this is talking about you. You're deeply involved here, okay? That you should be called the Son of God now. And that's what God's words, God said in the manifestations tonight, you know? God took us and set us apart. He clothed us with the most wonderful and beautiful things. And when I thought about it, I thought about the movie Annie. Do you remember the little redhead girl, Annie? Where, you know, she gets adopted by a billionaire, Daddy Warbucks, you know? And it was kind of set up by someone else, and he had to do it. And she gets adored with all of these things. And then eventually she wins Daddy Warbucks over, and he loves her, right? Great story. But God's story with us is way, way better. Okay? It's not an adoption. It's sonship by seed. That was impossible for old Daddy Warbucks. It's not just physical things, okay? It's spiritual things that are not temporal but eternal. We didn't have to win God's love over. He gave it to us freely. You know, God loved us first by giving his only begotten son so that we could be sons. God actually loves us. He actually loved us, and he proved it. Go to John 3:16. Very popular verse amongst the believers. If this verse was a celebrity, it'd be a famous one. John 3:16. I should say this verse is kind of like a celebrity. You ever watch The Simpsons? They hold it up in the back. It's just in the background. It's very popular. The Bible's a very popular book. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, he proved his love. He gave his son for us. And this verse, you know, when I said don't let the word of God just bounce off of you, you've probably heard this verse many times if you've been in the word for a minute. But each part of this verse is to the greatest degree. And I'm going to just read it slow here, okay? Because it's just awesome because it's the truth. For God, the greatest lover. Who could love more than God?
Nobody.
He's the greatest lover. You think you're a better lover than God? So loved to the greatest degree, okay? The world, the greatest number, that's everybody that was ever thought about and gonna be. That he gave, that's the greatest act ever. His only begotten son, the greatest gift. That whosoever, the greatest invitation, believeth, the greatest simplicity. In him, the greatest person, he never blew it once. Should not perish the greatest deliverance, but the greatest difference have for the greatest certainty, everlasting life, the greatest possession. Thank you, God. We sang to God and we clap for God tonight. God touches our hearts. He loves us. He gave his only begotten son for us all, and God's love has no expiration date. There's not a day that will ever pass that God's love has ended. So what are you going to do about that? What wouldn't he do for us? Go to Romans 10:9, another very famous verse amongst us believers. Romans 10:9. God made it so simple for us to get right with him. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So whenever that moment was that you believed, whenever that happened, the floodgates were opened. I mean, picture the biggest dam holding back water and it just busticating open and just coming out. The floodgates just poured out. You already believed the craziest thing, that God raised up somebody that was dead for 3 days and three nights. That's rather odd, isn't it? It's kind of not normal. It's not a normal thing. But we believed it. So why wouldn't we go all the way with this thing and actually believe what God says about us? You already believed that he raised someone up from the dead. Why not take it all the way and believe that you got it all, everything he says, that you're forgiven and it's actually true? That you're actually forgiven, and that you're a son of God with all power, and that you're going to be raised up also. It's pretty neat. There's nothing better than that. You know, we already believe the craziest thing. Why not go all the way with it? Take it to another level. Don't continue acting like someone from the world who's just a natural man. You're different. You got it going on. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. We were not saved to stay the same. We were saved to be extraordinary. And Ephesians 2:10, it says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. This word workmanship is masterpiece. We are God's masterpiece. I recently learned that the highest price ever paid for a painting was a portrait of Jesus Christ happened to be. titled Salvador Mundi, Latin, for Savior of the World, by Leonardo da Vinci, Italiano. You see, they thought it was a copy, but then they discovered it was an original, the original. There were 30 different versions of this painting, and they found the original. And in 2017, the painting sold for $450,300,000. Yet we are God's masterpiece, okay? Not nature, not the laws of physics, not the stars or the cosmos, not our body and soul. God's masterpiece is you and me. Isn't that incredible? Is it believable? If you believe God's word is true, then you should accept it as the word of God, as it is in truth the word of God, and believe it. You and I are God's masterpiece. God's masterpiece is the greatest work of art of all time. Infinitely more precious than old Mundi, Da Vinci's, you know? We don't just have a picture of the Savior of the world. We actually have him in us. Christ in us. God's plan of redemption was unfolding for thousands of years to get to the place of full restoration. And it will always be the highest price ever paid for anything. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. I want to show you some of God's brilliance in the design of his creation now. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. It says here, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. New creature means new creation. We have this new creation in us. It was born. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7, you're right in the neighborhood. 2 Corinthians 4, 7, it says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. This treasure, what is it talking about? It's talking about Holy Spirit. And the word treasure means wealth. It means the place which good and precious things are collected and laid up. You see, God made a treasure in us, in the Holy Spirit that we have, and he loaded it up with all of these treasures, these things. John 4, 24. John 4, 24. He's got a man? No, John 4, 24. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God is spirit. So he gave us what he is. If he was made of gold, he would have made us gold, solid. He's spirit. He gave us spirit. John 3, chapter 3, verse 1. Jesus Christ is going to throw down right here. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? God forgive him for thinking that thought. That's just terrible. I always said I love my mom too much to try anything like that. Verse 5, after Jesus cracked up probably inside, he must have at least had a snark or something, like a little dimple. I don't know. I'm not going to. It's just funny. What a thought. Verse 5, Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh, and whether it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. God is Spirit, and he gave us what he is. We have Holy Spirit. We were born again. It's so great. Look at Jesus Christ teaching that the Spirit is like wind, and you can't see it. You don't see wind. You can hear it, and you don't know where it came from. It just kind of shows up. Spirit. That's what God gave us. Spirit. Colossians 2:10. You know, it's pretty neat. I do fellowship Friday nights at this time. And so here we are. This is what I normally do anyway. It's so great. And for those of you who come to my fellowship, it's like I jump out of a closet tonight and say, "Supplies! You're back in my house at fellowship. It's so great." Colossians 2:10. Look at this. Our standing before God with Spirit is one of absolute completeness. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. The word for complete in English does not convey the proper emphasis in the phrase, and ye are complete in him. And in Dr. Werewolf's book, The Bible Tells Me So, chapter 10, that's the blue book, he covers this in detail, how the Aramaic better expresses the phrase with clarity. Basically, how the Aramaic has four different grammatical forms to show the intensity of a verb. English has no form from which corresponds to this Aramaic form. And even in the Aramaic, few verbs go through all four of these conjugations. He says, here's an attempt to translate, and you're complete in him from the Aramaic. We are completely, completely, absolutely complete in him. And such completeness is incomprehensible to the finite human mind. At best, we can know for certainty that we are lacking nothing. Blue book. Ephesians 1:3. Ephesians 1:3. You're complete in him. You're his masterpiece. A treasure. And God just packed it in with all these precious things. And Ephesians 1:3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath. What tense is that? It's done already. Blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. All without exception. If all our blessings were in a box, he turned it upside down and patted it down on top and dumped them all on us. He's not holding any of them back. You say, well, I didn't experience the gathering together yet. You're already seated in the heavenlies. And you know about it, so you could enjoy it. All of the blessings, we have them now. So great. You can't say, oh, so-and-so has more blessings than me. No, 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 no. We all have them all. It's like when you go to the store with three different kids, you get them all the same thing. Romans chapter 8, verse 15. Romans 8:15. Look at this. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. The adversary would love for us to stay there in bondage, you know. But ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The word adoption there is not a good word in English. What it means is sonship. So if you got a pen and a Bible that it still says adoption, why not cross it out and write sonship? Because that's what it is. Sonship. Actual sonship by seed. You see, we cry out to God for help like a little baby, like Abba, Father. You know, and if you're a grown man, that is not a sign of weakness. That's a sign of intelligence. Because God is true. And there's an adversary looking to keep us down and in bondage. You know, Romans, keep going there, verse 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God. And joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. When you're an heir, you get an inheritance. Don't you? Would you rather have an inheritance from Daddy Warbucks or the creator of the heavens and the earth? Well, I know you're thinking both, right? Well, God already promises to meet all of our needs if Daddy Warbucks didn't adopt you when you were a kid anyway. Ephesians 1:7. Here are some more of God's masterful brushstrokes in the masterpiece that we are. Ephesians 1:7. It says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. We have redemption. Redemption is the act of freeing or releasing. Deliverance, not with reference to the person delivering, but to the person delivered. Hence, redemption for the one from guilt and punishment brought about by the act of bringing forward a ransom, making amends or reparation for guilt. The result to us, practically speaking, is that we've been bought back from the adversary, reclaimed. We belong to God now. Never were we disregarded or forfeited. Jesus Christ was the full propitiation, wasn't he? The full payment for all of our sins. And Jesus Christ was that ransom. He was the ransom for many, for our freedom and release from the grip of the adversary. We belong to God forever and always now. Romans 3:23. How are we feeling tonight? You feeling good? Man, you traveled all from wherever to get here. Does anyone live next door? Maybe just a couple of people up in the back. Yes. Most of us don't. I think the furthest out is Ecuador. It's great. Great to be here with you. Romans 3:23 and 24. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified how? Freely by his grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We have justification. And what that means is to set forth as righteous, to justify by a judicial act. This is legal stuff. You want to study law? Here we go. By a judicial act, by a judicial decision to free a man from his guilt, which stands in the way of his being right. And to represent him as righteous. Who's the judge in the situation? God. The result, practically speaking to us, is that it's just like we never sinned. Justification. Jesus was that full payment for us all. We've been acquitted. We've been vindicated. There's no charge. No charge. There's no indictment. No. There's no sentence for us, okay? What does that mean to us? What does it do to your heart deep down inside? Because it meant everything to God. He gave his only begotten son for that to be true. And it is true. It makes us free from sin. And it makes us be able to just fly with God, to be the kids that he dreamed of, to be the kids that believe that what he said was true about us. That's us now. It's not some other people. Galatians 5:1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. I know I'm going a little quicker. I slipped you on that one. I still hear pages turning. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. He made us free. We got out. And you know what they say? I got out, and they try to pull me back in. Especially in New Jersey. Romans 8, 5, verse 8. Romans 5, 8. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet stinkers, sinners, Christ died for us, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. We've been reconciled. Reconciliation in full effect has happened. Reconciled means to change toward a person. Reconciled to anyone, to put away all enmity, that a friendly relationship follows, and no impediment remains at all to unity and peace. Reconcile means to bring back together that which was separated. And what does that mean to us in our life? We've been brought back together with God. No longer ever to be separated, because he dwells within us. He gave us what he is. We're never going to be separated from God again. And that's pretty awesome comfort that is. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. This is God's artwork, not mine. His masterpiece, that we are alive. We're alive. We're living today. We're his people in the world. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Look at that, sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Sanctification, we've been sanctified. And we heard that in manifestations tonight. Sanctified means holy, pure, purity. To set in the state opposed to common or unclean. It simply means that we're set apart for heaven. We're sanctified. Philippians 1:27. This is so beautiful. Look at this. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Only let your conversation be. It's not just talking about talking. It's not what it means. It means, conversation means to be a citizen. And what that phrase, only let your conversation be, it means exercise your citizenship. Behave as a citizen in action. Be what God says you are. Behave as a citizen as opposed to an alien. Because that's what we are in this world anymore. Because we're seated in the heavenlies. We're citizens of another place now. You know? Remember the song? This world is not my home. I'm just a what? Yes. Little page over. 320. Philippians 320. We're sanctified. Philippians 3:20 says, for our conversation is in where?
Heaven,
from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Conversation here means seat of government. It's in heaven. As sons of God, we're citizens of heaven. We're set apart, sanctified. So we need to rise up in our believing and just take off with this. We're not of this world anymore. We have the masterpiece that God created in us now. It's great. We're citizens of heaven. And whenever you're a citizen of a place, you have all the rights and privileges of those types of citizens. We're citizens of God's country now. So that's what we act like, a citizen of heaven. 2 Corinthians 5:21. This is just an incredible one right here. And I can't say it's unbelievable because that would just totally contradict everything God and me, everybody in the Word trying to do. I'd say it's unbelievable. It's believable. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. And that was Jesus Christ. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's what God made us. The righteousness of God in him. So I'm going to ask you, how righteous is God? Is there any unrighteousness in God? He made us righteous. There's only one kind of righteous. Okay? There's not like two righteousnesses. There's one. And if God is righteous and he made us righteous, then we are as righteous as God. And it's not unbelievable because God's word says it, and therefore it's what? True. What we have in Christ is just incredible. Righteousness means the God-given ability to stand before God without any sense of sin, condemnation, guilt, fear, or shortcomings. So that means that as a child of God, you can also stand in the very presence of Satan himself with full confidence that you're victorious and that you don't have to be afraid anymore. That's right. Righteous, that we're right, just, fulfilling all claims which are right, the right state of which God is the standard. And my deep research is that the opposite of righteousness is wrongchousness. I went deep there. The result of this to us, practically speaking, because I'm a practical guy. One of the reasons why I love God's word is because it's practical. I can use it in my life. It's not just a mental, you know. Practically speaking, what this means is that we do not cower or draw back from God. We come boldly. How, Lance?
Bold!
With boldness to his throne of grace. Because why? Because you're also righteous. Like God is. That is the truth. Ruth. 1 John 3:19. I know some of you are tired, but some of you look wide-eyed and bushy-tailed. It's good. But y'all that are tired after this, you're going to go party all night anyway. Don't lie to me. I know how it is. It's too exciting to go to sleep. But you should get a little rest if you can. 1 John 3:19. And hereby we know that we are of a truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is what?
Greater
than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. That's when you're righteous. You have confidence toward God. You walk right up to him. If he was sitting up here, he'd jump on his lap and bend his ear like Lisa Sfronos wants to do. And whatever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. I always remember Lisa walked right up to Walter Cummings and said, can I just bend your ear? And I thought that was great. And he said, sure. That's why I said that. We could go right up to God and bend his ear. Because we don't withdraw from God and back up from him and be like, oh. No, as a loving father, he just runs to us to embrace us. And we run to him and look him right in the eye. You know, he's spirit, you know what I'm saying. We're not afraid of God, you know. God is greater than our heart. So let go of all the reasons why you wouldn't have confidence toward God. Because we're righteous now. We're God's masterpiece now. We have this treasure in an earthen vessel, Holy Spirit. The place where God collected all of these things and laid them up. That's his treasure. We have this treasure. Ephesians 1:13. Ephesians 1:13, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, you heard, and then you believed, and then you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Sealed. This is a good one. Sealed, what it means is to stamp with a signet or a private mark for security or preservation. It's to set a seal upon, to mark with a seal or a signet for security from Satan. It's sealed up or concealed as the contents of a letter. You ever see one of those letters that have a wax stamp on it? And it's sealed? Now those things are easy to rip open. But someone would know you looked and you peeked and you shouldn't have, right? If it wasn't addressed to you. But it also means in order to prove or confirm or to attest a thing, to confirm authenticity, to authenticate, to place beyond doubt, to prove one's testimony to a person that he is what he, God, professes to be. We're sealed. Holy Spirit is sealed in us. God sealed it. He's the one that put his stamp on it. You see what I'm saying? You've been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And thankfully, it's sealed in us. You can't sneeze it out. You can't poke it out. You can't finger it out. You can't get the bejesus scared out of you. Because you just pull it right back. No, that's just terrible. You can't sin it out. You can't condemn it out. And you cannot unbelieve it out. How's that one? I used that one recently in a situation that was really helpful and healing to people. When God sealed it, it was sealed. Never to be broken. Ever. Ever. Who can unseal what God sealed? Nobody. I think of Noah's Ark. When you know Noah wanted to let some people in. But who sealed the door? God shut the door. Who's going to open it? Nobody. We have Holy Spirit sealed in us. Nobody could take it from us and change or mess up what God did. No one. All of these things are inherited items that are sealed inside of us. Not a one of them could slip out, leak out, or be removed. We have a new creation, Holy Spirit, everlasting life. We have salvation. We have forgiveness from sins. We have sonship. We're joint heirs with Christ. We're complete. We're righteous. We're sanctified. We're reconciled. We're justified. We're redeemed, and we are His masterpiece. And there's more that we're going to hear this weekend, you know, about the great mystery and all. And I'm almost done, but I want to share a couple other things, all right? You okay with that? These are not just some pretty things to put in a shelf and say, oh, look how pretty that is. These are all ours to live now, to put into action in our life now. Man. And they're not just temporary. They're eternal. They're forever ours. It's so great. Look at 1 John 4:17. Our standing before God is not temporal. We're forever perfect before Him. And if you don't feel like it, that's okay. That's God's problem. He's the one that did it. It's not our problem. 1 John 4:17, herein is our love made perfect, that we might have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. After being born again, we are as He is. Now in this world. And that's incredible. It's beautiful. It's gorgeous. If we don't believe and walk and talk like a son of God, we're just going to be like another squirrel trying to get an acorn or something. You know, just acting like an old carnal man. That's why I wanted this to be God's masterpiece in action. Man, if we don't act on it, who's gonna? Somebody else in some place? The adversary's ripping the word of God from people, stealing it from them left and right. We're God's people now, and we need to act like sons of God. Sheesh, John 10:10. You know the verse. It's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. John 10:10. It says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Part of living a more abundant life is actually living like a son of God who has all of this going on in his life. That's part of living this abundant life. God didn't call us and get us born again to just be ordinary. We're extraordinary. Man, believing who we are in Christ is putting this in action. The adversary would love to keep us down and to keep us just stolen, like he steals the word from people. Don't let him steal the word from you. Don't let him steal the word from your friends. Go all the way with God. He gave it all to us. We're his masterpiece. Man, what a privilege. You want to please God? Do you want to please God?
Yes.
You sure?
Yes.
Hebrews 11:6. I'll just quote the little first part. It says, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. Therefore, by sheer logic, how would we please him? With believing. Faith is believing there. Believe what God says about you, and you will please him. You want to please God? Then believe what he says, what he called you to be, what he made you to be. That's what's true. Not what the adversary says, where he gets you to question the word, and then he says the exact opposite of what God says. You know what to tell him to do with himself. You got to just let go of what the world thinks and not care anymore and just believe what God thinks, what God's word says. You want to bring God great joy? Seven. Do you want to bring God great joy?
Yes!
3 John 1:4. We'll go there. That's where we'll end. tonight. 3 John 1:4. It says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. You want to bring God great joy? Then walk in the truth. Man, act on the truth. God's word is true. Believe what God's word says about you, and you will bring God great joy. Imagine that, that little old us, you know. We could bring God great joy. That's so awesome. So get over yourself. Stop beating yourself up with every little thing. And stop allowing yourself to be talked out of the greatness of God's word. Because you are awesome. You are the best. God actually loves you. And today, right here, right now, you are God's masterpiece in action. Got it? Father, thank you so much for your word. And thank you that you've given us these incredible things and that we have the privilege to be your people. To be the place where you laid up that treasure. Thank you, God, that each and every one of us can just soar in our believing with you and what you made us to be and just never look back, but just continue to grow and to walk with you, and that we can be the great people that you called us to be, God. Thank you for that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.